Would you please repeat to the commission the information that you received about those members that are not going to be here this evening, or the ones that we have received a resignation from one of our members also?
We received a resignation from Ernie Martinez. She has some health issues, nothing terribly serious. She said just things that would prevent her from participating fully. We also had a resignation tendered, but not officially delivered. It was a verbal resignation from Henry Patel. Work demands are such that he doesn't feel like he can give it 100%, and came into the office and let me know he'd be resigning, but would be also submitting a formal letter. We haven't received that yet. So. We also have excused absence this evening from Marie Macedo and Maria Grijalva and Ernie Martinez. I'm sorry. Those are the two we have excused absences for. So, and then we have letters out to a couple of members, Antonio Rodriguez and Ira Porsche, due to attendance issues, we have mailed them letters indicating we just wanted to know what their status or continued interest in the commission was. I have not heard back from those. As I mentioned to Nettie earlier today, Chris Souza received some of that email also for the commission business, and she is on her flex day today, so if it came in via her email, I did not see that today.
Could I comment on a couple of those? I think they should, how they should be handled.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems that with the Henry Patel situation, we should get clear from him whether the chamber is going to be sending someone in his stead. And also with the, as far as Ira goes, too, I think Ira really wants to participate, and I think it's just probably one of those series of coincidences. Something tells me he won't be resigning. But if so, also from his same thing with representation. Although basically we're culturally based, I think diversity, I think we should have different agencies present.
Mm-hmm. When the commission was formed, those were the as much community input that we wanted. That's why someone represented law enforcement and someone was supposed to be here legal, but we never did get a response from the legal community sending a representative. The chamber was supposed to be there. There is supposed to be someone here representing the emergency assistance programs also, but we haven't had anyone. I mentioned that to Lana and Lana Da Silva from Tulare Emergency Aid, because I guess there's a council. There's something, is it the Tulare Collaborative?
There's a couple of different ones. Some deal on health and human service issues, some deal with job training, some serve on Commission of Churches or Council of Churches. So I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, that hers would be the one that I think Lorraine came to us through the and Tony came through us through the that her, she represents one church, and Tony came as a representative for the Tulare Association of Churches, but he left, and they have not reappointed anyone either. So I think I need to make an effort to go back to those organizations and remind them we're still here, we're still operating, and we're still in need of their representation on the commission, because it gives us a broader base. Good evening and
good evening.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late.
The card is on the table. When I come here, I thought, why didn't I bring that? I could have given it to him this evening or saved a stamp. All right, let's go around and introduce ourselves to our newest member, okay? Each and every one of us. Frank knows me. I'm Nettie Washington. I chair this commission. I think, sometime soon my chairmanship is up. It's they voted for me to stay for 2 years since we were a new commission. All right.
Hi, Michael Hardis. Teams on board. I'm from Tulare Union.
Hi, Dave Velasquez.
Larry Lucky.
David Macedo, and I'm the council liaison.
Irene Santos, I'm the staff.
Sarah Frazetti, I'm the vice chair.
David Silva, I kind of represent the invisible lavender community in the city of Tulare, although I remember in its heyday back when there was a lavender community in the county of Tulare. Tulare was the center of it, actually. But I also represent the disabled community, and I've been retired since 96, and I serve as a life skills worker, so I help people that are disabled. There's a lot of confusion in programs and things, and services aren't being done right now.
And Frank, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Frank Colon. I lived here since approximately 1999. I retired from 20 years in the Navy, out a little more. And like I said, I work in special ed right now in Visalia. And I might be changing jobs, but I'm not, that's up in the air right now. So.
And your family?
Wife and two kids.
Okay, just welcome. Glad to have you here. Okay, next item, approval of the minutes of the June 5th meeting. Has everybody had an opportunity to review their minutes? Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes from that meeting?
Actually, we can't act on it since we do not have a quorum.
Okay, so we do not have a quorum, and we had several people that called in and several people whose status are questionable because they have been sent letters advising them of their attendance challenges, and we're waiting to hear a response from them.
So, without a quorum, are we able to like form subcommittees and working groups and maybe take positions as a committee as a whole or something?
Yes, we can't. We can't actually approve any business this evening. We can spend time. Irene said there haven't been any changes made to our website. I was hoping that there would be so that we could actually see what was there and what it looked like. And
at this point, I was just going to post the names.
Okay.
And then we were going to add documents. And since we're going to add documents, I was going to forward that with the name request so that it didn't incur additional costs.
Okay. All right. Okay. We can hear a report from our subcommittee, though. So we can hear a report from the subcommittee regarding grievance handling, and that is David Silva.
Well, first of all, let me just say that in terms of like actually handling the grievance, always gives me a fresher, better perspective than when I sit around and theorize about bylaws and how we should form ourselves to be able to handle grievances. And they're always very, very sensitive matters. We should be open to receive them. We should always have two other people involved besides the one person that's handling the grievance because they're sensitive matters. I was able to talk to the parents. I was able to talk to social services, and we'll be having a meeting on Wednesday. And I think possibly it's possible we can get the baby back to the mother before the court date, now August 14th. And from what I see so far, there's no reason why we couldn't take a position except we wouldn't be meeting quite a while before we'd be meeting to maybe try to get social services to like reconsider, since they were just guessing that since they didn't understand this environment, there might be violence in the home, which is that quote that I got from social services. So,
since this is a sensitive matter when we're recording, could we withhold the name?
Actually, I'll say no names. But I feel, since it's with a sensitive stage, that we shouldn't do anything right now and just let those of us that are handling continue to handle it, and we'll have a better report. I wished we could say we had a quorum so we could form a working group so that we can maybe write a letter of support, a letter of support from the pastor, a letter of support from us, and a letter of support from maybe some other group would probably help right now. I think the baby needs to be back with the mother before the judge hears this. There's no reason why the baby should not be there. And that's my opinion. That's what I come to. But I think it's too sensitive before we take a position yet.
Okay. And I think this item was on here was you're addressing the particular case that Sorcy brought before the commission. What this item is we wanted. There are three or four of you.
Format.
Were to work on coming up with a format that we could have given SOAR so that he could have filled it out to bring it to the commission. So all of us would understand, what's going on, what the challenges are, what agencies things are involved, and what resource then that we could handle, or which member of the commission would be willing to you know, be the go-between with a resource if one was identified.
Well,
that
form was sent to me by one of the members of the subcommittee, and before I got a chance to get back to it, my internet service went down, and I haven't been able to read it. It sounded like she was on the right track, and that, you know, all we had to do is sign on. So I think we're very close.
Okay. All right. So can we say that at our next meeting we will?
I think it should be resolved in a couple of days, and in a couple of weeks we should know what that all means.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, do you think by our next meeting you and your committee will have gotten this form together to be able to present for us here so that we have it to start using?
There's only two of us that are active in the committee, so it would probably be better to have a third person to join us.
Okay. All right. All right, so did everyone here, David has asked for a third person to join the committee.
Who's the second person?
Who's that center minutes? Hold on just a moment.
Grijalva has been responsive. Corky has been off point. That's all I can say. But not responsive to the task. But wanting to talk about other things.
Okay. So if there, because I didn't see.
Ms. Grijalva is the one that's come up with done the work, really. All she's waiting is for me to just review it, make sure it's okay.
Okay. So is there anyone else who'd like to volunteer to work with Maria and David to review the possible form that, and there's a form apparently out there, and what we need to do is just make it to rework it so that it fits our particular needs here at the Tulare Community Relations Commission. Is there anyone else with you?
I'll try.
Okay, Lorraine. Okay, so make sure you guys have each other's telephone number, and will you please set up a date for to meet as soon as possible to go over that and to get another copy of the form from Maria.
There's also a sub-point that dealt with the fact that we currently don't have a provision for election of vice chair, and so we need. And my suggestion on the
okay, that's the next item, David. Okay. Let's finish with this item first, and then we'll have to get to the next item. Okay.
I'm just going to add that Anthony Rodriguez also agreed at the March 6th meeting to assist.
To work on that. Okay. So that goes back to March. We're still working on this. Okay. So that's not there. All right. Item C on the agenda then is any other discussion on regarding our grievance, the handling of, and it's not really grievances, it's more like needs assessment, I would think, that people have, you know, with the case that Maria talked about, the disabled person, and then when Sorcy brought the case that he has, it's more that we're trying to help people find resources to assist them than, you know, really a grievance.
Now has legal aid been contacted also?
In one case, there's an attorney already, yes. But the attorney's preparing for August 14th, not preparing to get the baby back to the mother right away.
Because there's also, like, for lower income, there's the legal aid office and things like that. That's why I'm wondering, that might be a possible resource if they needed that.
And that's what he said, they've already looked into that.
Okay. Things like it's a learning experience for the rest of the country. If in certain circumstances, if the same scenario, we can always guide them what to do.
The wheelchair access issue, it seems so broad that really it's almost like that's addressing any single incident or point. It's almost like it's demanding a whole new education campus. It's really that broad. But we would have to do some kind of hearings or something first before we did anything like that, before we did an education campaign. So we'd have to hear from other people besides the one agreement.
Okay, so that, and what we're saying, we've actually had three issues before. It's the one, the disabled, Maria's problem with someone who was having disability issues. And that disability issue was wheelchair access. and then the issue of the child who'd been removed from the home. And as David says, there has been a court date set for that, and that's August 15th. But that's a long time for a mom to be separated from her child when there was really no cause for that to happen.
Less than 4 month old child.
All right, item C on our agenda, report of subcommittee regarding reviewing of rules and regulations. Okay, David, your name is there again.
Yeah. We were sort of stuck and thinking, well, this is going to take a whole rewriting of everything. Then as I was driving around one day, it occurred to me, but I didn't talk to the other member of the committee, that really very simple, that we just simply add a Section A. Section A is election of the chair, and Section B is election of the vice chair. We don't have to worry about jumbling all the numbers. I think that's really all it requires.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't remember if we were talking about other things, and so I need to get back to the other committee member besides the other one that I talked to.
It says under elections, which is B2, it says, at the first meeting of the commission, the member shall elect a chair and vice chair. Thereafter, at its first meeting of each subsequent year, the member shall rotate the chair and vice chair. In the absence or disability of the chair or vice chair, the commission may designate a temporary chair.
So what is lacking?
Okay, so it doesn't look like...
What was the role? You were asking for clarification regarding what is their role in serving in the absence of the chair.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that's the two things that... Because this spells out how you get to a vice chair, so I don't know that we have to,
And I would say in assuming responsibilities and duties, there too.
Okay, so that's what we want to add is the role of. I don't know if you can.
That depends on town. The bank is here.
Okay, I'm just a little while ago. Okay, thank you.
I stopped on my way here and left my backpack in place. I stopped on any of my notes at all, anything.
I guess under, if everybody could turn to their rules and procedures for the commission, and on page 2, it has officers and elections, and it has officers shall consist of a chairperson, vice chair, and secretary. The chair and vice chair shall be members of the Community Relations Commission. The secretary shall be a member of the city and may not be a member of the commission. Then it has elections, and it says there, at the first meeting of the commission, the member shall elect a chair and vice chair. Thereafter, at its first meeting of each subsequent year, the member shall rotate the chair and vice chair. In the absence of or disability of the chair or vice chair, the commission may designate a temporary chair. So, and I don't know that anywhere in here, let's see down here, meetings and records.
So actually, then the vice chair doesn't assume the chair. There's a temporary chair put in instead, and so the vice chair has a separate duty.
There's not been identified any separate duty for the vice chairman. So that's what.
So you'd think the only duty would be to assume the chair when you lose the chair. So what is the temporary chair for? It seems almost.
The temporary chair needs, if the chair is not there, it needs to be able to run the meeting.
Can't the vice chair do that?
Well, that's what I'm talking about, the vice chair. So, I mean, they don't need to really appoint a temporary chair.
Yeah.
It needs to, more than likely, if disability, what I'm thinking about, if something happened that the chair was not going to be able to be there for a long time, period of time, then it would be necessary to have the vice chair step in and become the secretary, the temporary chair until the next election, you know, next year comes around. But that's what we have to decide. How do we want to amend these rules and procedures to fit our organization, what we need here? And remember, these basically came from the U.S. Departments of Justice, that handbook that they gave us on, community relations commissions, and it was just to get us started. So it's up to us now to make them work for us. And if there's a need that we have that it's not covering, then that's when you need to amend your rules and procedures.
So let's see what David and whoever can take a look at.
Okay.
And then discuss it the next meeting, the role of the vice chair. And then we can do the amendment accordingly.
We might want to consider doing something really, different to enliven the commission, like having a rotating facilitator, but have the chair assume more of the responsibilities of corresponding secretary and dealing with the public and lobbying for us and making sure, that kind of thing. Sometimes a rotating facilitatorship gets everybody involved. If it's your turn to run the meeting,
yes,
then you become involved. And maybe that's what we need right now. So we can look at something like that and still hold the chairmanship of this person that's the corresponding secretary, the correspondent that goes out, the face of the commission. I don't know. We get to think about stuff like that, and what we'll do is we'll bring back options.
Good. That's what we need. And can we please have those ready for our August meeting? Okay. All right. Any other discussion on that item of the roles and duties of the vice chair, or actually just amendments to the rules? So everyone, please read your rules and procedures. And if you have any suggestions, then you need to call David. If there's anything that you see that's missing that you think should be there, then you need to call David so that can be part of his recommendations for August.
We all have to be sort of really conscious right now because of my mother's Alzheimer's. My phone number is at my mother's house, and she does not take messages. So david@silva.us, I check quite often. It's pretty easy one to remember since it's me.
Okay. Everybody write that down so you have it.
david@silva.us. It's the one that's in our list. So.
Okay.
I don't know. I called your mother this afternoon.
She was pretty good. Well, she would not let go until she found me. Huh?
And she said, he'd be home in an hour. If you call in an hour, he'll be here.
Yeah.
You were.
It's really, just something that I don't want to burden her with, is taking messages. She's really doing real well right now. She's really good. She's doing really well, but she has phases. She can't write things down.
Yeah. We're going through that same challenge, David, so I understand.
I do have a message machine in my old number, so and I check that every day.
Okay. So please, everyone be involved in giving your ideas and suggestions to David, because then these will become your rules and procedures and not just David's.
Yeah, I like consensus.
And whoever else is on the committee will all be part of it. All right, any other suggestions or discussion on item C?
Maybe the only thing I was going to add is if we wanted to agendize that as part of a discussion so that everyone's here and can contribute to.
Right.
I know you'd like to have a draft by August, but it would help to get more input. Maybe make it a portion of the meeting, maybe spend 20 to 30 minutes.
Just talking about it, yeah. Yeah, that would be good. All right. Okay, then item D, status of identification badge card for commission members. And attached to your minutes was the letter that I presented to the city council. And David, do you know if there's any been any discussion by council?
They haven't. We discussed it that night, and we haven't had a meeting since.
Okay.
We didn't have a meeting last Tuesday because of the 4th of July.
Okay. All right. So then.
And that's actually at the staff level. I don't think the council has a problem with it. It's going to probably have to be facilitated by city staff, and I'm sure the council will approve it.
Okay. Okay,
so I can't see why they wouldn't. That's why I brought it up that night. Now, why you even want them, you know?
Yes, so. Yeah. And David did. I presented the letter, and David, there were a few questions by council members, and David was able to answer those for them. So hopefully they're those of the commission that really feel a need for those identification cards, hopefully will happen. Frank, do you have a question? You look like you have a question.
No, not on that particular item.
All right. Further training options. I have been on the internet searching for information about further training options for mediation training. And so I have this information, and I'm going to pass it around. Let's see. Just hoping to get it. This is and I talked to a lady today, and it can be fairly expensive to for some of it. There's one. Here's one that's a six-hour mediation trainer. And I don't know if this is the... And this is another one. So I'm just going to pass the paperwork around. Some of them are... Oh, this is a training manual in itself.
Okay. Have you contacted... Professor Kapoor of Fresno?
No.
That's the University of Fresno? Because I believe he runs some program like that.
I think this is part of that same course.
Cappuccino.
Yeah, cappuccino would be nice.
There was one up there.
You need a frappuccino.
I don't know that there is something in there.
And then there's one on.
Transformer.
That there's also ones too. Okay, and this is the one that I actually spoke to the lady today. It's MTI. Irene, what you mentioned one to me, and I couldn't find my notes on it.
Institute of Cultural Affairs, ICA.
ICA. Okay, you know, I did think I found something from them.
Institute of Cultural Affairs.
Institute of Cultural Affairs.
And this is all part of something. And here was one basic mediation training, trainer's manual, and I mean the whole thing was on the internet. So this kind of talks about their particular programs. There are a few of them out there that you can take the class on the internet, and there's some of them that you know that we can have a facilitator come in. But these are very expensive. It says for a group of 12 or more, your price for track 3 would be $395 per participant, plus the cost of transportation and lodging for the trainer. If the person was to become a certified trainer, the price would be $795 per person. and that is through MTI, and there's also another one, MIT, and there's one that, that there's several universities, I think one of them that I sent around was from the University of Michigan, and through their behavioral management degree, they offer mediation training. So conflict resolution and mediation training are kind of go hand in hand together. But I spoke to this lady today. So it's just all of you that have computers, if you would just go in and do a Google search on mediation training, you'll be there for days. going through the information.
And I just bought a cartridge.
I beg your pardon?
I just bought a cartridge.
Okay. that's what I had, the information that I gathered for further training options. So
the MIT did say that for non-commercial purposes, it was free and open access.
The one that this manual, that manual right there, yeah.
So the scope of the training that you're looking for, is it interpersonal communication, or is it conflict resolution? Or
it's conflict resolution.
Okay.
Mediation training.
Because there's a real good, at COS, there's a real good instructor, Cynthia Johnson. She's also a family therapist and things like that, so I don't know. You might be able to contact her, since she might be able to do something. She was there. She was the head of Applied Sciences a couple of years ago. Cynthia Johnson. She's pretty young, and she does some private classes. I know that also.
It would be a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. She does interpersonal communication classes, mm-hmm. public speaking, and she also does. Like I said, family and marital therapy on the side. So you might want to contact, you might be a source to try to set up a workshop or something. Also, Tulare County Office of Education over by the, where you pay the water by Celia. It's Health and Human Services, HMSA, gives some classes right next to the, where the water is paid there in, by Celia. You know that?
Field.
That loop? That little loop right there. I've taken some classes out there on bipolar and also on dealing with teenagers and things like that. So they're free. Those classes are free, actually. And there's like a couple of other agencies, nonprofit agencies, come out there and give the classes. But obviously, they're paid by the HMSA, but there are providers out there also. A lot of providers.
The commission was looking for something where they receive some certification so that when they've gone through this training, they receive a piece of paper that says, we've been through 6 or 8 hours of mediation training or conflict resolution training, and they wanted to have that. So that's why we were looking for someone who specialized in those particular areas and that had the authority to issue some certification, the lady that came to us from
Carol,
you know, she is there, her particular division does not issue certificates. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the training that we received from her was not something that we would receive a certificate from. And if I understand, I mean, there are people missing here, but the conversation that I understood the commission had was that they wanted some kind of, certification from an organization that had the authority to certify. So if we could do it through some of these courses that are on the internet, that would be fine, but I don't know. I think we have a couple of members that do not have internet access, so you know that wouldn't work for them unless we find a way to get them internet access. All right, we can thank you for those suggestions, Frank, because if we can find something closer to home that's not going to cost us an arm and a leg, because I don't know what we've been budgeted. No one said anything to me about submitting budget requests for our commission, so I did not.
One other thing to add, if I may, West Hills College and Lemoore, actually they're in Kalinga, but in Lemoore also, they have a psychology degree online, so if you want to take psychology classes online, it does take 6 months too, but there is a psychology degree online. I just got one a couple of weeks ago, but if they have anything from abnormal psychology to modern psychology to any all kinds of things. So it's very, it's kind of fast paced, but it's okay.
I would like to see, let me speak, to see a nonviolence training that is, you know, both certifiable, but also one that when you are certified, you'd actually be able to share what it is that you learned, so that we'd actually be creating, you know, other people with the same information. It would be like a peace army, so to speak, in the community. We would be, rather than having to spend $1 million, we try to find 1,000 volunteers. You know, try to find 1,000 volunteers to solve the problems we have in the community. It's very difficult. But we need 1,000 volunteers in this community to solve the problems that we have. And I think only by these kind of nonviolence training where we can share the information of how people can resolve some of these conflicts.
And some of these programs that I've looked at, once you've gone through the program, you can be certified to be a trainer. So, you know, that's a wonderful way of, now we all have the information and the organizations that we represent here, then we take it back to those organizations and train them. It's like Corky and Maria said, the facilitation training that we received from
Carol.
Sorry, it's gone tonight. They were able to put to use, you know, immediately within the Native American community, and help them to be able to run their meetings so much smoother than they had been, you know, time that they've been having. So that's the kind of thing that we want. We want the information that we're gaining here to take back to our representative communities and share with them to make their organizations run better. That's one of the things I love about United Way, is that they do a lot of work at working with community-based organizations and helping them, you know, have better policies and procedures for their operations, helping them develop their board, teaching them how to run meetings, teaching them how to, you know, interface with the community. And I had actually called Ernie, you know, to see if this was something. He said, you know, there's no one that he has on staff that has that, you know, expertise at this particular time. But it, you know, it doesn't mean that in the future it wouldn't be something that the United Way would not consider, you know, doing or sponsoring. So, you know, that's something that I thought, after I talked with him, that I could submit a formal request. You know, one of the options we have is to submit a formal request to a United Way, that maybe they could help us with some funding to have this, and it would be something that we would open up to the community. It would be something that we would be going through, but it would always be something that any heads of any other organization, any chairperson or vice chair of another organization, would be able to take part in it also. And I think that would carry probably a lot of weight with the United Way if they realized that there would be a lot of community-based organizations who would be able to take make benefit of the particular training.
I have a question. How much of the administrative and logistical support is the city authorized to give to the commission, as far as like either legal or logistical, such as, I know the city probably has some grant writing personnel and things like that. That type of thing, how much can the commission get?
Well, you know, we have never made any formal commitment to the commission, but I do believe we have paid for all the training sessions, and we're pretty open. I mean, we'd have to bring something with a cost, and when Nettie says something is expensive, sometimes it's cheap. It works.
That's it. Yeah.
And so I think we would weigh all those options. Again, don't know how long I am for the city council, but I think November is going to be my last day, and can't speak for the next council, but this council has been very supportive. The council prior to was extremely supportive, so I can't see him saying no unless it was just an astronomical amount to this training and what it, the outreach that it would encompass.
Well, sometimes because we probably don't have, I mean, I know I don't, the know-how or the training to, let's say, for example, we wanted to increase or allocate some funds or try to get some funds for a particular cost or a particular program within the commission that we wanted to support, as far as using your grant writer or things like that, or using just Mr. Cabot or something like that for legal advice. Is that feasible?
Yeah, and that's one of the things we talked about last meeting was on the legal advice. If there's something that is legal that includes the city's involvement, that council is available. If it's outside, and we discussed that, and probably don't want to get into that type situation where we're providing legal counsel on the outside. There, as you said, there's legal assistance aid out there for those, but we need to learn those avenues so that we can send people to those. But if there's a legal issue that pertains to the city of Tulare, we do have that at our disposal.
And also, for example, grant writing.
Grant writing also, if there was something out there, we would find the proper...
We have a company, I know when, a long time ago, years ago, we hired this company out of Florida to be grant writers for us, and we don't know, Richie would always ask, well, what have they done? And the answer was always nothing.
Yeah.
So, but
just as long as we're paying them.
Well, they were hired, though, that was actually a pretty decent deal because they only got paid if they actually performed at a certain level. Mm-hmm. So
for what I, you know, when I got off the council at that point, there had been no grants that they had found for us. So, but we had paid them some, David.
It was in tears, and mm-hmm. if they didn't perform beyond a certain amount, then you didn't have to pay anymore. Our best grant writer is leaving, unfortunately. The guy that finds them all is Bill Wagnalls. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's just a magician.
Mm-hmm. It takes time because, I mean, I do grant writing for nonprofit organizations, and it's just hours on the computer searching for grants. And I found grants for the library, I found grants for parks, I found grants for, you know, lots of different things out there, and I just have a little notebook and I keep writing them down, but it's a lot of work of finding the grant and then going through what the criteria is. And unfortunately, because we're a city or we're connected to the city, sometimes that eliminates us from grants, because I found that lots of times your government agency that ability for you to take part. Most of the grants are out there are for nonprofit organizations, unless the grant is coming from the federal government. Matter of fact, today I found two grants for community, CBEG or
Development Block.
Yes, Community Development Block Grants. I found two grants that we could apply from the Department of Housing and something or other.
Heard of the vote.
Yes, yeah. Irene is our support from the city. Okay, that's the way that they provide us with a staff person. Anytime we need materials or anything, all I have to do is call Irene and ask her for them, and she produces them for us. As you heard her say, our web page is benefit of the city. They see that's done, although not as fast as we want, because there is, every time they send a project over to the high school district, there is a cost attached to it, so I'm sure they try to accumulate them, you know, as in a batch, so that...
We did, I need to correct what I said earlier, we did get the agendas and the minutes attached. Mm-hmm. We are doing that now, because we do have staff access to that. Chris can attach mm-hmm. those, but the names that are adding... that's a separate function mm-hmm. that the school district has, and any forms that we want to attach, there needs to be a component built into the site for that, because right now it's just text only, And there needs to be hyperlinks established for some of them.
Okay. And see, that's why we want to get our grievance process down, so that if there's a form that a person needs to use, it's they can go on the website and get that form. And Darlene and I had a discussion the other day about, excuse me, how come I can't pay my water bill online? David, how many years ago did we talk about that?
I have no, it's been years.
It's been years.
I always say one of the first votes I ever cast happened finally about 2-3 weeks ago, and that's Barzi and O Streets. Mm-hmm. It was within the, and that's 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But so, if I can interject just before, because I'll forget, but one of the things, he brings up an excellent point. We're a community relations board. If there is a group out there that is in need of a grant for something, and they come to us, we may be able to help facilitate where to get that. You know, as part of our community relations, if it's a nonprofit group or some type of organization that is in need of a grant or is looking for something like that, I mean, maybe that is something that we could at least facilitate as maybe where to go, whether it be through the city and get some advice through one of the staff members or find out on our own. But, you know, that's really not a bad idea when you look at being, people are going to come to us that maybe feel comfortable and say, hey, Frank, you know, we'd really like to build this for underprivileged youth right here. Is there any way we can do this? And, you know, maybe that one of the things we need to be doing as a relations board is say, you know what, let's see if there's a grant out there for this type of situation that will help, you know, that maybe I can look into. I mean, we're always looking for functions of this board, and that might be one of them, you know. Again, some people are afraid to go through the process. We on this board shouldn't be.
In some cities, they have social service committees because cities have found that a lot of the tasks that the counties are supposed to be doing just aren't being done, and the cities are suffering because of it. So the cities have to find ways to take up some of these tasks. Now, I don't think the original vision of the Community Relations Commission was to become a social service committee, but I do think that some of the, like the grants that we could connect people with, you know, it would be great if we could get it through the city. But getting anything from the county is just, you know, who was in charge last week, and it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult to get anything in the county. So that sounds great. I think it's a direction we should try to go.
Okay, so will everyone agree for our next meeting to, I will look at some of the options that Frank mentioned about our further training, but would some other people please go on the internet and do a Google search for, put it in parentheses, because if you don't, first time I just put mediation training, oh God, but anyway, if you put it in parentheses, mediation training, and then look and see what comes up and look at what's out there. And
should we put certification also, so make sure that he gives you something that gives you certification?
You might add that, because I didn't add that on mine. I just did mediation training, and because what I came across was most of the people that do the training, unless they're a private company, but if it's a state or school, there are lots of communities that have community relations commissions that has someone there who's a certifier. The programs that I came up with, cities and colleges and schools, it was unbelievable what people were doing, because I mean this is a big issue of being able to mediate between kids at school. There's a lot of mediation training going on in the educational area because of the problems that schools are having with children fighting before they think. You know, the first thing they want to do is fight instead of, you know, try to communicate and, you know, talk things through and work them out. So mediation training is really a big thing within the educational realm.
The Tulare County Office of Education, Ron McCable at Riverbank, he gives that CPI, which is Crisis Preventive Intervention, and also the Visalia Unified has a private firm come in and do the ABA training, which is the behavioral modification training. But as far as certification, you know, you get a certificate. I don't know at what level certification you want, just attendance, basically course completion certification, or what level of certification are we looking for, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would be the basic, just like that.
You start with the basic, and if there's anyone who wants personally to go beyond that, then, you know, it's kind of up to them to seek that. But the one program that I found that was online that, I think that stack that you have right there, Frank, on this right side of you, that right there. There you can go through different levels, you know, of certification. So, but if we all are looking at what's out there and seeing how involved it is, then you can have some idea of what kind of commitment you're willing to make to this training session. We had pretty good turnout for the training that Carol gave us. People committed and showed up for those that facilitation training, and it worked very well for us. But again, it's going to take a level of commitment from the whole commission to this certification training, because if we have to bring a trainer in, if it's not feasible for individually to do it online, and we have to spend, you know, an 8-hour day or two, you know, 6 hours on one day and 6 hours on another doing this, then it, you know, the whole commission is going to have to be involved in it.
Now, how do you foresee this training being applied?
How I foresee it being applied is that if there, the whole purpose of this organization is to help the community avoid confrontation and any, you know, serious confrontations, minor confrontations. And so we would be at that point, once we have our certification, is that, you know, we would be someone that groups could come to, or if you hear of a situation, we would be able to offer our services to, you know, do mediation between that family and Child Protective Services, to do mediation between this disabled woman and who in the county of Tulare oversees buildings being ADA compliable. Then they're okay. If this woman has tried on her own to solve this problem and hasn't been able to, she needs someone that who would be able to mediate between her and the county, and that would be the role that we would play.
At the same time, you're asking for the card for identification.
Yes. That's why we're asking for the identification card, so that if in SARS community there's a problem. He hears about it, or one person tells him, we need you to come. When he shows up, someone says, well, who are you? Who gives you the authority to come in here and tell me what to do? You know, he says, you know, I'm a representative of the city council. You know, I serve at their pleasure on the Tulare Community Relations Commission. My role is to keep the peace without bringing in law enforcement, because it shouldn't have to go that far. Yeah.
And actually, you would say, I'm here to try to mediate what the problem is and what we need to do to facilitate an ending that's happy, you know.
Right.
And if there's anything I can do, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there's something you can do, you know, you may just need to offer, you know, okay, what is the situation? You know, have you talked to each other? Because that's the reason why people get into problems, because they haven't talked to each other.
Some people are really afraid to ask. They've been shut down so many times by the bureaucrats or something. And if they have a really legitimate problem, they have their wealth of use almost filed into them. They don't even realize it's in their own language. And you just talk to them, you realize, well, you're not even going to find out.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they say, oh, yeah, that's right, I can find out.
In our neighborhood, I mean, we had a gentleman that moved in and he started operating a car repair dealership, you know, in the garage. And, you know, nobody in the neighborhood would say anything. What did they do? They came over to me. can he do that? And I said, did you call code enforcement? And they said, no. And I said, well, call code enforcement. I said, because no, he's not supposed to be able to operate an automotive bill, you know, business out of his garage. I mean, we don't want the oil running down the gutter into the, you know, the water, to the water treatment. But I mean, there's so many things that people don't know. They think, you know, because it's that they're his house. You know, he can do anything he wants to do at his house. No, he can't do anything that he wants to do if it harms the rest of the neighborhood.
Can we originate something here to go to an entity, for example, engineering, something that one of us has noticed that things like that community issues, such as, for example, I'll give an example, I don't even know if it's the right forum to do it, but for example, in the library, by the library, that's Sacramento and King Street, all the way around there, about a three block radius, there are no stop signs, these are directions. Mm-hmm. And I know engineering takes care of the stops.
But we have a Tulare Safety Committee, and it's their charge to take care of stop signs. So what you need to do is send the Tulare Safety Committee information regarding that, you know, asking the question, you know, I've noticed that there are no stop signs. When are you scheduled to have some stop signs put
right,
in that
because
area?
I notice people out of courtesy or out of safety, they kind of yield, but
yes.
Sometimes they just go.
I know, well, yeah.
Between
yeah.
like King, Sacramento, all those places.
Nettie right. and I can tell you, we're of the opinion, if there's a four uncontrolled intersection, throw a stop sign up, it's not that easy.
Yeah,
and just one of those amazing things
yes.
that the state won't let you just throw a stop sign.
No.
There has to be so many cars through a day or so many accidents now, which is nuts. Because I've always been under the impression that simple things such as setting our speed limits in town, we can't do that and keep funding. But, you know, if you as a city think, you know what, let's just control this intersection and we'll stop all the discussion as to who was right or wrong. You just can't throw one up. It's amazing. But you can't keep bringing it to light. Speed limits, Nettie and I fought speed limits together for a long time. And then if you set your own speed limits, it's fine and dandy. But then they cut off your funding and
they,
you're
they
no longer allowed to use radar.
Yeah, they threatened to, you know. And you know, my issue with that was, well, there are not enough policemen around to use radar anyway, so why worry about having to use radar? Let's just make all residential areas 25 miles an hour and forget it.
What, and then
Hamburger?
Yeah. Just the reality of it, how they set a speed limit, is what the average traffic is traveling on that road. That's why you keep seeing it up. If people decide they're going to drive 45 miles an hour as their average speed when they do their traffic
studies,
they say, well, this needs to be 45. And I just find that
yeah, that's what Mike told me. You know, Mike told me that if it's 35 and all of a sudden the speed average is out at 40 or 45, then they're going to opt in instead of putting a deterrent, either a four-way stop or a speed bump. But I'm concerned, like right there by Pleasant and Milner, they're going to build those two new communities there. Also, it's going to just get worse.
Try getting a plus cross street. Anywhere time
yeah, and we can't just go out and put crosswalks either, because that was my biggest thing, is right there by the TDS hall. I mean, that is so dangerous there, because mm-hmm. the stoplight is on the wrong side of the street, yeah. and there are people crossing at the TDS hall when they're having functions all the time. And also down at that market that's on, is that 8th Street?
Prosperity yeah. and...
Cross and, this is on Cross Avenue where the TDS hall is, and the next street is, I guess it's H. There's a store there.
Right.
There's
yeah.
people crossing there.
Cross.
And then the night, and you can't see them. They have on dark clothes. You're driving, and all of a sudden, they pop up in front of you. But you know,
and the big Prosperity Market intersection
yes.
there.
The
yes.
good news, is that Tulare Advanced Register is having a contest to see which one of us can come up with the worst of these problems. And it's
yeah. So please respond to their ad. But you know, it is, but it's not unsurmountable, because Johnny.
Fajardo
fought until, I mean, he came to the council and he hounded us time and time again about that light at Bardsley and O. And guess what? It's the light at Bardsley and O is going in. So if you want stop signs, you got to keep after it. Start with the safety committee. They'll bring it to the city. They'll take it to engineering. It has to go through this process and get on a list, you know. And then as it moves up the list, they become a reality. So it takes time, but you can do it, because Johnny Fajardo did it.
I still remember him chewing out poor Aretha Rutherford, because he voted for her, because she said she'd make sure there was a light there. We'd already voted. I'm kidding. Within the first 4 or 5 months, I was on the council to install it. 8 years. I'll be 8 years in November.
They finally
put it in.
Yeah.
But it was okay
yeah,
8 years
time.
Ago.
Yeah.
Well, let's think of what we need 8 years from now and start asking for it.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Well, Mike told me I'd have to go all the way up to Caltrans.
Yeah, Caltrans is a problem.
Yes, very big problem.
Caltrans,
okay, we've had our group discussion, very good group discussion this evening. If Maureen was here, she'd be upset because our discussion was not on the agenda, but that's what group discussion is for, okay? So anything else to be included in our group discussion? There's no action we've been able to take this evening because we haven't had a quorum, but we've had an opportunity to have a discussion about all of these items here. Hopefully next month we'll have enough people here to vote on some of these things, and we'll have presentations so that, again, our commission is the same way. It takes us time to get things done also, but slowly but surely we're getting there. David?
I do, and I had called Natty on this 3 weeks ago about inviting the gentleman from the county here that has all the services. All the services in the county are under him.
Okay.
And I think maybe September might be a better time than November or August, just because I think a lot of people do travel. But this guy gave us information at the city council level that just floored me, and I thought it really needed to get to this.
Okay. So will you issue a or do you
I will call, if you'd like, I would call Chris and have her set it up.
So move.
But every day in Tulare County, $1.4 million is spent on services. I couldn't believe that. And he has everything underneath him that he gave us a great presentation and what's out there. And I think that it's probably more valuable to this commission than it even was the city council.
Okay. So September, we will have a guest speaker. So hopefully we'll get most of our business taken care of in August so that we can have a guest speaker in September. And then the information that he gives us maybe in October, we can put it to work right away.
Well, before Mr. Macedo was here, a couple of people, myself, were discussing about different entities, the bylaws, whether we have to have representation from them, like the people that are not showing up. Are we going to try to enforce that?
Oh, yeah, that's why we have that discussion. They have been notified that because of their attendance, they need to let us know. Are you not interested anymore? You know, do we need to replace you? Does your organization need to send us new representation? I have talked to several people from the Friendship Committee, but they have not reappointed. And I guess I'm just going to have to go to one of their meetings.
I'm more concerned with the school districts more than anything, having representation here. Because as community grows, it impacts everybody, and particularly the schools. In schools, basically, that's like the kid's second home,
I think, to try to close on a positive note, we've had a really long, growing process, but we knew it would be. We knew it would be difficult. We've gone through trainings. We've tried to define ourselves, what we're going to become. And here, the first publicly known problem we handle is the homeless issue. Now, there's not a city in America that's been able to handle the homeless issue. It's the most difficult issue that we all have. And yet we got the really, really strong opposing community forces to come together at meetings. I think that's quite an achievement. It may be a small achievement, but it's quite an achievement. And I don't know, we can say a lot came out of it. A lot of it's probably still going to be in a court someday. But it was interesting that we got the people with opposing opinions to come together and talk things out. And people started having a vision of community. So I want to end that positive note.
And it was. We had a process. We learned through our community service, U.S. Department of Justice community service training, that there is a process that you can take your community through to address issues, a process that brings diverse opinions together and talks an issue through to try to come up with a solution. And hopefully you do that before council has to make a decision. I mean, you do that at the beginning of the process of the issue and not at the end when it's, dropped in the council's lap and they have 2 weeks to make a decision. So that's something we learned also. Okay. I want to thank all of you for being here. Irene?
I just wanted to make a comment. September 1 is the date that's referenced in the rules and procedures that we would make a report to the council. I don't know if you want to agenda that for next month to begin working on that.
Okay.
And I think you might want to look beyond September 1st because that'll be Labor Day go the following way like we did here.
Yeah, because our next meeting will be in September, will be December 11th. The council meeting will be So do you think on the 5th of September there won't be a council meeting?
Well, that'll be Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it will be Labor Day weekend.
And so I you know, that's probably one of the highest travel.
I think we probably would just need to submit it to Chris and make sure it gets in the packets for copying and distribution.
Okay.
Even though the meeting won't occur that day.
Well, I think, just move the meeting the following Monday like we kind of did this.
Yes, we have it. It's scheduled already for September 11th.
Okay.
And are we going to agendize our monthly, what we called it, was it sort of cultural holidays report? Each one of us took on a different month.
Yes.
We bring up and talk about the different,
we need to put that
different
on the agenda.
Festivals of different cultures on that particular month. I think we should agendize that each time because we did take on that responsibility. And I'm just really, really ripped up to take October.
Okay.
All right. So we will put that on the agenda. And I'll bring the list again because we have a couple of new members that I don't think signed up. And again, it's the kind of thing you can just go on the internet, put whatever the... and I miss doing the Juneteenth celebration because I wanted to explain about Juneteenth if everybody knew what Juneteenth was. and we didn't get that done. So, Irene, please have that be on our agenda. And then we can, the person sees it that signed up, they can, that will remind them, okay, I need to go on the internet and search out some information on this. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.